April 16th. Sunny day here in New Hampshire. It's newsworthy. Feels like it was just cloudy for months on end. Yesterday broke through, and today continuing a trend. Sunshine. It's nice to have spring back. Get out there, do some work on the yard and the lawn. That's maybe not so much fun to people, but neither is watching the Boston Red Sox 6-0 losers yesterday. I didn't watch any of it. I will not watch the Red Sox this year. 6-0. Just what an absolute joke. And I heard on one of the radio shows yesterday that I guess, you know, Larry Lucchino passed away last week. And I guess John Henry and Sam whatever his name is, the owners of the Sox, I guess they didn't go to his funeral. They had like excuses. One of the guys was sick, and John Henry, I think, had to travel to England or something like that. Whatever, excuses. But I don't know. That just seemed kind of low class. I don't know all the situation about it, but just not a team worth any of my time or yours, I might say. So we're not going to talk much about the Red Sox at all today. Let's talk about the Bruins and their 2-0 loss last night. It was 1-0, and then they pulled the goalie, put the goalie back in, pulled the goalie again. Swayman played a heck of a game. He wasn't in net for the empty netter there. Finishes up 2-0. And people that are like detractors or negative on the Bruins can look at that game and make points that I probably could not counteract except with some words and just simple determination and stick-to-itiveness in my mindset. Thomas Polk will be here in segment two today to probably give better detail than I could as to the Bruins' mindset as they go into the game tonight where we're going to be playing Ottawa. And there's seeding definitely on the line. There's one game left for us, one game left for Florida, and we're one point ahead of them to see who's going to win the Atlantic Division. And the winner of first place in the Atlantic Division could ultimately end up being like the loser when it comes to who you're going to face in the first round of the playoffs. Tampa Bay is pretty much locked into that 7th seed. So if the Bruins win the division, they'll be the number 2 team in the East and have to play Tampa Bay. Same goes the other way for Florida. And there's an interesting point to be made here. If the Bruins finish second, then we would play against Toronto in the first round, and we have pretty much owned Toronto here the last few times we played them. So as a Bruins fan, you might go, well, hey, I'd rather play Toronto. Maybe we shouldn't try to play tonight, especially on the heels of what last night was a very physical game. And I will say last night, Ottawa, who we're playing tonight, they actually lost last night. I think it was 4-0 to the Rangers, who's the one team in the Eastern Conference I'm worried about. They got first place overall. They'll be the number 1 seed. And they might be rewarded with having to play the Washington Capitals, who last night was the team that crushed us. So it's really interesting what's going on in the NHL with the playoff seeding. What I will say is this weekend, the Bruins beat the Penguins at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh in their last 10 games was 7-0-3. So Pittsburgh's been hot as a firecracker. Well, last night, the Washington Capitals were playing for their playoff lives. If you didn't know this, and I didn't know it going into the game only because I'm a half-hearted hockey fan. I watch the Bruins and kind of looking at who we're going to play and seeding and stuff like that. I watch a little bit of the other games because I'm getting more and more into it, but I'm not looking at like the 9-10 seeds and trying to follow all those games. Well, what I found out though at the end of the game here on Nesson is the Bruins announcers, Jack Edwards, says, you know, Washington is fighting for their playoff life and they move forward. Big win for them. They're tied for the number 8 seed. And my feedback is from watching that game last night, there's no question the Bruins players had their head on a swivel. You know why? Because Washington is big and they were looking like take the guys' heads off. I don't know how to put it any more plainly. as I watch that game, the Bruins, I've said all season long, yeah, we check. We're tough. Yeah, we lose the fights, but we battle. Never backing down. Last night was the first time I saw a team physically just out-muscle us, outsize us, and had us looking worried. Now, is that because we just were all jacked up to play Pittsburgh, who was hot as a firecracker and playing for their playoff lives, and we beat them pretty easily Saturday night? So then you come back, it's 2 days later, you know, Sunday day off, Monday we're playing, and we know we got a game tonight too. So you're in the midst of three games in 4 days, which in hockey doesn't happen all the time. So I don't really blame the Bruins last night for going into the game and going, well, I mean, who do we really want to play in the playoffs anyway? Like, do we need to win the division? We're playing Ottawa tomorrow. If we win that game, we're going to be in first place anyway. And, man, as we're playing here, a few of our guys got crushed last night. I will say Trent Frederick nailed somebody on the other team too, though, of Washington. So can the Bruins beat Washington if we're in a playoff series? Honestly, the answer is I think the Bruins can beat anybody, but from the physicality standpoint, I don't know. I don't know if the Bruins would just up their physicality game and be ready and be able to therefore take down Washington. But I will say if Washington gets into that 8 seed, the New York Rangers are going to have a test right out of the gate. This whole Eastern Conference in the NHL, anybody can beat anybody. The one team I'm looking at and going, well, wait a minute, I'm not worried about them, is Toronto. So if the Bruins lose tonight, you would look at it in a couple of different ways. One, I mean, the Rangers just beat Ottawa last night 4-0. And now the Bruins are playing Ottawa at home tonight. If you lose that game, did you lose intentionally, or are you breaking down at the end? Ooh, that would be a horrible thing, because I've been talking so much trash about the Bruins all season long, and I am not worried. I am fully on board. I'm fully on board on my drive in today. Again, I'm hearing WEEI. I'm hearing them talk about the goalie situation and second-guessing Jim Montgomery. And, well, what would you do if Swayman wins game one and Ullmark loses game two and then Swayman wins game three? And the first things they're saying is, oh, then you have to go with Swayman. He's the audience saying, no, dude. No, you don't. You do not do that. That's panic. You're up 2-1 in the series. It's not time to panic. You do with exactly what the plan was. Because what if Swayman went in for game four and you happen to lose game four? Then what do? You don't panic. You have a plan going into the series and you stick with it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go 1-1, 1-1 at the end of four games. See what happens. I mean, it doesn't hurt if it was Swayman, Ullmark, and Ullmark wins game four to tie things up. It doesn't hurt to put Ullmark in for game five. Let him go 2 in a row. See what happens. Swayman gets game six. Okay, there's no problem there, but you're going 1-1, 1-1 for the first four games. It's that simple. If the Bruins do not do that, I'm jumping off the bandwagon. You cannot deviate from the plan, and it's been working. This is your strength. I love the fact that the radio show announcers, the commentators, the experts in the NHL are, oh, no, you have to ride the hot hand. I know as Razor, the former Bruins goalie who goes on Nesson a bunch, and he's talking about, well, mindset. You got to know going into the series if you're going to be the starter or the back. Yeah, what did you ever win, dude? Like, not for nothing. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but would you ever win? Your mindset. At some point, mindset is like, yeah, get out of here with your mindset crap. Go win the goal. If you're a winner, you're going to win. If you're ready to win, you're going to win. If you're not, you're going to lose. It's that simple. It's playoff time. I don't need to be talking about, well, the mindset of the starter and the game two guy. What's their mindset going to be? It's like, you're reaching, dude. You're thinking way too hard. You should have been spending less time thinking and more time practicing, maybe, and won something, and then you could tell us what's going on from there. Here we go. That's how we get things started. I wonder what Thomas Poke's going to have to say to me here when we come back from this commercial break. The Sports Machine with Slim is on WKXL. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com. You can see stuff or hear stuff all the time there, live or on delay. Stay tuned. Thomas Polk is up next. Season for the Bruins. Time to get geared up, baby. Regular season, I think, finishes tomorrow night. Other teams got some games. Then the playoffs are on. We're rocking and rolling, and it's wide open. Both conferences. Let's see if former NHL pro Thomas Polk can help us to make some sense of it all. Good morning to you, Thomas.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that Bruins game last night all the way through. I did. That Washington team looks very imposing to me.
I watched most of it. I have to say I jumped back and forth a little bit just to keep it interesting. I was watching the Montreal at Detroit game a little bit because they're fighting for it too, and actually came back to still keep it interesting to the very last day on who's going to be the number 8 spot in the East. Yeah.
I was watching a little bit of, I think, ESPN, and they showed the end of this Detroit game last night, Thomas. And what I thought of there was I saw the players' reaction because they won in overtime. And now they're tied with Washington for that 8 seed right now. But the players in Detroit, you could see just the enthusiasm, how happy they are. I don't know if it came from the fans in the stadium or it was, you know, the reverse, where it caused the fans in the stadium. Those fans looked absolutely nuts. So is that because Detroit just wasn't expected to be too good this year?
I think they are right there. But I think when you look back at Detroit, right, their heyday was a few years back, but they're a hockey town. So they want to get back to it, and they're excited for it. I think their plan, I mean, if you look at it, I would take my chances right now going into that last game. I'd rather be Detroit playing Montreal rather than Washington playing the Bruins, but that's just me.
So what do you think goes through the Bruins' mindset tonight? Because I texted you earlier. I don't really mind if we lose tonight and end up getting the 2 seed in the Atlantic or the, whatever, the 3 overall, so that we play Toronto in the first round. I'm totally comfortable with that. But you think the Bruins players will want to, you know, get it jacked up and just get a good taste in their mouth kind of moving forward off last night's loss?
100%. I don't think anybody goes out there and it's going to go, oh, we're going to tank that game. That's just not in them. No player wants to do that. So they're going to try and they're going to do the best they can and, you know, maybe chips fall where they fall. I don't think, that's my honest opinion, either one, Toronto or Tampa Bay are going to be a tough first-round opponent. So
exactly.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I loved your take right there where it's like, well, you're never going to try to lose on purpose. But yesterday, Thomas, I don't know if you know who Mike Greenberg is. He's a ESPN commentator, hosts a bunch of shows, thinks he's a big deal. And he was screaming yesterday on ESPN about how the Lakers and LeBron need to lose on purpose so that they don't have to play the defending champion Denver Nuggets in the first round in the NBA. And I'm just listening to this guy talking like, what an absolute loser. This is. You think the mentality of these players can be to just like not play tonight because I'm afraid to play the defending champs? Like, you think you're going to win long term with that type of mentality? There's no way. So that's where I'm thinking tonight, the Bruins, I'm hoping they're able to rebound and we should be able to beat Ottawa.
No, I think so. I mean, for Ottawa, it'll be the last game. They're on the road. It'll be, how much do they have left, right? How much fight do they have left knowing that it's going to end tonight? So we'll see. I'm sure the young guys are going to still go and try their best. But the Bruins get up, you know, get an early goal. And I have a feeling that Ottawa is just going to go away quietly. But what do I know? And then I think the other game that's going to be fun to really watch today is going to be the Leafs against the Panthers, because that's going to have some playoff kick to it already. I mean, the way it is right now, they're going to play each other, right? So this is the best chance. And you'll watch Tkachuk today. He's going to be in their face. It's going to be all over them, just to give them a taste of what's coming for the next seven games, starting on Saturday, I believe, the playoffs start at.
So that's on ESPN. You'd watch that, or you'd watch the Bruins tonight, like if you have an opportunity to watch both games at the same time, which is your number one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. I think for the more interesting game, it'll be just the Leafs against Florida. I just have a feeling it's going to be like a really hard-fought game, and it's going to give you a little bit of taste in the playoff. I'm sure we're going to see a couple of fights going on there. Just for them, at the end of the day, right, they're going to look at it, they're going to go, that's my feeling there. Florida's going to think the Bruins are going to beat Ottawa, and we're going to have to play the Maple Leafs. So let's just kick their butt today and really give them a taste of what's coming.
Right.
I know Florida's not going in there. Like, the Bees are going to win. That's the mentality they're going to have. So they're going to go, we're going to play the Leafs.
And
this is the first taste they're going to get.
Yeah, Florida's your defending, I mean, Eastern Conference champion. So they're looking to be, hey, I'm the big dog, right? They're not going to look to lay down. Like you said, they're looking to win this game either way. There should be intensity there. For the eighth seed, Thomas, in the East, you got tonight, Detroit is at Montreal, and Washington is at Philadelphia. If both teams win, do you know which one gets that eighth seed?
So right now on the NHL website, it shows us Washington is ahead of them. So if both of them win, it seems to be Washington. I'm not 100% sure
okay.
on what their criteria is, but I'm assuming that's what it is.
So if Washington wins, they'll be squaring off in the first round against the Rangers. And I'm just telling you, what I watched last night, that Washington team, they check, and they don't just check like to contest the puck, which is what I would describe it as. That's how the Bruins do it. The Bruins don't go into the corners trying to like knock somebody out. They go in to just let you know, hey, we're coming, and we're coming after the puck because we're great in those puck battles. Washington goes into the corners trying to hurt you.
No, I mean, they're a good team. Have they struggled? Yes. Have some of their star players getting older? Yes. I don't know if I want them in the first round. Again, sometimes, and you saw it with Florida last year, right? They squeaked in the very last day, and then look what they did. They went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, where, yeah, well, they ran a little bit out of gas there. But overall, I mean, that's, you know, they're a tough team. First round, as we said, the last couple of shows, it's going to be the most fun playoffs right there in the first round.
And that's why, for me, too, it's worth watching some of this Florida-Toronto game. Like you so you said, hey, you're interested. You're going to watch both games. I'm interested, and I'm going to watch both games, too. And in the past, I never, ever would watch any of the like other NHL games. But I'm legitimately curious, especially you're telling me, why will there be fights in Florida and Toronto tonight? Like, do those teams have a hatred for each other for some reason?
Well, I think it's just because the playoffs are coming up, right? Like, you can talk about it. The NHL has changed. It's not the old school days, right? The way it used to be. But there's still, you know, there's some sort of intimidation going on. You know, with the Maple Leafs star forwards that they have, probably arguably have a little more talent up front. But, you know, that's not something that Florida can't make up by playing them physical and tough. And I just have a feeling. I mean, they go back, right? Florida beat them last year after Toronto just finally made it out of the first round. And now they have to deal with them in the first round again. So that'll be a very fun and entertaining first series as well.
Yeah, there you go. You mentioned the old school and the toughness. I will say the other day I was talking with Mitty, who comes on Tuesdays, but he can't be here today, Thomas. And me and him had a conversation. I said, you know what, Mitty? I'll ask Thomas. When you were in the NHL, did you ever get in fights? How many fights did you get in?
Just a few. That wasn't really a big part of it. But every now and then, you got to do what you got to do.
How did you do?
I hung in there. You know, it was okay.
There we go. That's what I want to hear. That sounded like quiet confidence. Could I find that on yeah. YouTube somewhere?
I'm sure there are out there a few. But, you know, at the end of the day, the whole fighting stuff, especially in the playoffs, you got to be there for your teammates. You got to be there for yourself and, you know, do anything you can. Just showing up. There's not much winning or losing in it. you know, it's the ones that don't show up is the ones that kind of lost it.
Well, that's it. That's what I've seen with this Bruins team is we show up every single time. Now, last night, we went against a team that for the first time, I'll tell you, Thomas, maybe in 50 games, I saw a team physically, Washington, make us look scared. The Bruins were a little scared last night. They were worried about getting nailed in the corners.
Well, it's something too, though, right? Like, yeah, towards the end of the year, we're in the playoffs. We're ready. Everybody wants to be healthy. Nobody needs to have injuries right now. Is it one of those things where, hey, you see someone big enough like a Wilson or an Ovechkin coming down and you and they're 230 pounds trying to absolutely smoke you in the corner and you're going to go, yeah, I'm not going to go in there right now. I'll go in there on Saturday, but not today. Mm-hmm. As I said, different story. Washington has to do it. They're fighting for their lives just to make it into the playoffs. So it's a little different, right?
100% it's a little bit different. Like you said, that's how I opened up the show, talking exactly about this. I will say, at the end of the game, it looked like Morgan Geekie might have been a little bit injured. I don't know if you saw anything with that, but you can comment on that right before we head to commercial. Are the Bruins going to be ready to go, man?
I think they will be. I think they have a lot to prove from last year. They've had another great regular season, but all they care about is that first round and make it through it.
That's all I care about, too. Let's get to the first round, all of our attention, all of our focus, win the first round, and then we go from there. Let's start it tonight. Let's take care of Ottawa and get the number two seed in the East. Sounds good, Thomas?
100%.
Love it. Thank you for calling the show. Right on. We'll be back with you here when the playoffs are kicking off next week. Enjoy the rest of your day. Everybody listening, we're coming right back. We're going to talk NBA, I think, with the pistol. We're going to get down and dirty in the NBA playoffs, the play-in games. You got it. Keep that channel right here. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire Talk Radio. For the NHL, more so than I ever have been. That one year the Bruins won it all with Milan Lucic crushing people, Chara Seidenberg on defense, they were impenetrable. That was a year I remember post-divorce, so I was spending a lot of time by myself and watching every Bruins game. And man, was that exciting. We had some crazy wins, Tim Thomas. But I was not geared up for the playoffs the way that I am this year. I'm invested in the NHL playoffs. For the NBA playoffs, let's hear from a man who I know is extremely invested, the Pistol.
Slim, what's up? I am so excited. I feel like Max Holloway after he blasted Justin Gaethje with 4:59 left in round 5 of UFC 500-300. That was awesome, and I feel that way today. NBA playoffs get started today. Play-in games in the West are going to be great.
I did not watch many of the UFC fights. I saw two of the prelims where it was the free stuff. I saw Holly Holm get crushed by an absolute beast of a woman, and I watched the guy from Methuen Mask get just crushed wrestling style. It was really embarrassing because I bet on the guy from Methuen Pistol, but I did see the replays of this fight you're talking about, Holloway or whatever, and what the scoop was, he won the fight pretty much. He was in charge, but with like 20 to 30 seconds left, he's pointing to the other guy like, let's go, let's just throw down right here. So they just started wailing haymakers at each other, and he clocked him and crushed him out with 1 second left in the fight.
It was incredible. Max Holloway was up 4-1. Most people consider him up 4-1 in the fight, and so he had no reason to do that. But that fight was for the BMF belt, which is the baddest MF-er in the UFC. And so with the last, you know, 10 seconds or 20 seconds left, he just started pointing in the middle of the ring. He's like, get in here and stand with me. Get in here and stand with me. And they both just started throwing haymakers, and Holloway landed one. It was really incredible. What a moment.
I can see, yeah, if I was watching that live, that would have been exciting, especially if you bet on the guy who was losing, because you're like, yeah, get in there, dude. Like, there's a chance get for you there to win your money now, because you bet. You know, if you're just keeping your distance, there's no shot at collecting. Well, he had his chance, but no. He had his chance to go to sleep.
So now the big question is, are the Lakers going into tonight's game looking to win, which would cause them to face Denver, who are they are 0-3 or 0-4 against during the season? Number of people are saying, you know what, Lakers need to throw this game so they get OKC in the first round if they can win the second matchup.
I try my best to be nice when I'm on the radio. Like when I'm in regular life, especially if I'm by myself, I'm somewhat mean, actually, hypocritical or just critical of others because everyone's so dumb out there. But what do you think? I'm going to make an exception. But what do you think about what this moron, Mike Greenberg, is saying on ESPN about how the Lakers should intentionally lose tonight? What a moron, I think.
I think he's a moron, too. I think that it's completely idiotic. Number one is, I think, you know, you're going to have to get through Denver. The Lakers are a team that have a shot at winning them. And if you play them in the first round, the good thing about the first round is you get 2 days of rest between most of the games. There's 4 days before the series starts. And the Lakers are old. They're a team that, like, need rest. And you need LeBron to get as much rest as possible because he's going to have to be a beast in that series. And I just think, like, if you're going to go against Denver, it's better now than when you're playing a game every other night. And last year, they just ran out of gas. They had no gas left.
I love that we're on the same side with this. What I will say also for the Lakers, they've won 2 in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're feeling good. Anthony Davis is saying positive things about the team. Why should you be afraid of anybody? You guys have won a championship together. Anthony Davis and LeBron, say what you want about the bubble, they won a championship together. LeBron is a proven winner, and from a mentality standpoint, could you ever imagine Michael Jordan going, well, I'm going to lose on purpose tonight because I think I can beat the team tomorrow and that'll be better for my NBA like playoff matchup moving down the road? That's insanity.
Yeah, it would be so sad to know that's the attitude of one of the best players in the NBA. I don't think they're going to do it. I hope they don't do it. And, you know, New Orleans should be a cakewalk for them. They blasted through them, you know, earlier in the week. And I just think they should definitely win. They should get the 7th seed. And, hey, if you can't beat Denver, you're just not good enough. But at least, you get an early vacation then.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go, Pistol. Now, that's a reason why you should want to play Denver in the first round anyway, but I'm with you. Like, listen, we think we can win the title. Like, the Los Angeles Lakers won the in-season tournament. So when the money's on the line, like, they've come through. So I don't understand why you would have any fear in your mind about playing Denver in the first round because, like you said, you're going to have to play him some other time anyway. That's why it's just dumb talk by a dumb announcer on ESPN, and I hope he hears me saying it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that LeBron won't like is, you know, this was a season where the Lakers got out in the first round if they lose to Denver. Right, so that looks bad on the resume, right? You didn't take the Lakers further. If they go against OKC, okay, maybe they get to the second round. Maybe they get to the conference finals if they're on the other side of the bracket as Denver. But I just think, like, go against the best team. You know, if you can knock them out early, that's the time to knock them out. I mean, it worked for Miami against Milwaukee last year, right? So I think they're just going to go for it.
Every team in the West, it's like the Eastern Conference in the NHL, what I was just saying. The Western Conference, really, I would not be surprised to see like 4 or 5 teams come out as the victor. And if we open up the amount of opinions, I think we could get 6 or 7 teams that people would believe could potentially come out of the West. You and me talked about this on the air a couple months ago. Who's your pick right now to come out of the West?
I think it's hard to pick against Denver, but the second team that I love is the Mavericks. And you know that I love them. I love Luka and Kyrie and the way they're playing together. I know they're hot right now, so they're a hot team to pick. But I followed them throughout the year, and I just feel like they've gotten better and better and better. And they're one of the only teams at the trade deadline that significantly like had an impact on the team after the trade, right? Like, their two guys they picked up, PJ Washington, and the big guy, Gafford, are both playing really well, and they're in, you know, sometimes in the starting lineup and sometimes, like, big contributors. They need Derek Lively to come back, but I like Milwaukee. I mean, I like Dallas, and I think that Clippers series should be incredible. Another thing is Luka has knocked out the Clippers twice, once when he was 21 years old, once when he was 22 years old, and they had Kawhi and Paul George, both of those. So Luka's not afraid of those guys.
Yeah, you're making a case. And I will say, I was thinking to you when I watched the Mavericks play a week or so ago. I forget who they were playing, but you're right. The big guys they have surrounding Luka and Kyrie just make up for their shortages on the defensive side of things, because these guys are big and aggressive. And on the offensive side of things, they don't have to do that much. It really is the right chemistry and mix over there. It seems like Dallas to me. I hate Luka. I always have pistol, but he looks like this one could be in the right spot for him.
Yeah, I think their run's going to be really interesting. I'd like to see them face Denver in the second round and just see how that goes, but that's probably not going to happen because they're going to be on the other side of the bracket. What do you think? So I'm curious about Golden State. I think, you know, Golden State needs two wins just to get in. They're hot right now. They're 8-2, but that Sacramento team had a hell of a series with them last year, and I think that game tonight is going to be really good.
Well, it's like Game 7, and in the Game 7 last year, Golden State against Sacramento, I'm pretty sure Golden State went into Sacramento and beat them by like 30. And Golden State now has won one game in a row, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. I see Golden State going into Sacramento and beating them tonight. They're 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that they're only 2.5-point favorites. But in that Game 7 last year, Steph Curry broke the record for points scored in a Game 7. He dropped 50 on them. So you know that guy steps up during the big games. We've seen it as Celtics fans. You know, Celtics fans have definitely seen that. So, you know, it's hard to bet against Golden State. I just think it's really tough to win those two games back-to-back.
I don't think it's that tough. I just see it's one game at a time. And I just think Golden State against Sacramento. Well, I mean, Sacramento's 4-6 in their last 10. Golden State's 8-2. So if you want to say, oh, well, Golden State this year, they're not feeling great. The chemistry is like they've pulled it together at the right time. You have one of the best players in basketball and a huge winner. Maybe the biggest winner in the league who's playing right now, honestly, Steph Curry. So, hey, I give Golden State the advantage there. And then, not for nothing, the Lakers, New Orleans loser, is going to play Golden State. But New Orleans just fell apart at home to the Lakers the other day. If the Lakers beat them tonight, which I expect is going to happen, I don't understand how New Orleans is favored by one, actually. If the Lakers beat New Orleans, now New Orleans ain't feeling good. Golden State's going to go in there and take them down, Pistol.
When you look at the list of the West teams, you remember on Sesame Street when they had the what thing doesn't belong, which the, you know, what are these things doesn't belong? Don't you just look at the list of West teams and you see New Orleans and you're like, what the hell are they doing in this? That team has no moxie. Like those, the players that they have that people say are good, they stink.
Pistol?
These guys don't have them.
We could talk more about it if you want to hold on through the break. We're going to commercial right now. We're going to have one more segment. Let's leave people in suspense as to whether you'll be here when we come back on The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. We got a warning here. So I've noticed things throughout my life. And this is a big flashing neon red signal to do the opposite. Pistol, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm looking on some websites here that tell the action spread on which side of games the public is betting. And I'm seeing that the Los Angeles Lakers have 77% of the money being bet on them tonight against New Orleans. And in the other game, I'm seeing that Golden State has 79% of the money being bet on them. So I'm sitting here going, I like the Lakers and I love Golden State. And that's what everybody is betting the same side on. I want your comment on this. My brother Dave just sent me a text during the break. I was going to call in, but let the Pistol go. The Pelicans win easy tonight, for your information. Where is he coming from?
Wow. wow, I don't know how he sees that. I mean, when the Lakers and Pelicans just played each other a few days ago, and the Lakers smashed them. LeBron even guarded Zion. I think Zion had 12 points. So if that happens, you got to think the Lakers are throwing the game, right? Like that would be what I think. And I guess it does give them an opportunity to knock out Golden State if they want to do that. But I can't see. Like, I feel like the Pelicans are full of players who don't know how to deal with the game mentally and don't know how to step up. I think the Lakers are going to win big tonight.
That it's just the neon light flashing. This is all I can tell you. I am not betting either of these games. I'm going to watch and be entertained. I really do want to bet the Lakers, which tells me I should not bet the Lakers because I am right there with you, Pistol. But how could anybody have watched that game the other day and not say exactly like, which of these kids is doing his own thing? Tell me, can you tell which one? That was the Sesame Street. You're right. It's like that's the dark grayish box and the other three are bright sunshine. New Orleans doesn't belong.
Hey, let's just face it. We heard MVD's picks for the NCAA tournament, and they were horrible. So what's to say that he's any good at NBA playoff basketball either?
Well, the issue, though, Pistol, is that everybody else is on our side, too. And that's when I mean, there's a reason why I'm down $600,000 for life gambling. And it's not recognizing situations like this one right here tonight where I'm jumping all in going, I love the Lakers. How could they lose? New Orleans doesn't even belong here. And then afterwards, I'm just like crushed, like, oh, my God, I need to take out a loan to pay for my losses.
Just remember, Slim, you always have Otani's interpreter to compare yourself against, and that's a great feeling.
Maybe I could go find him to see about getting my credit line upped.
He knows how to do it.
He's a master.
I got amazing credit.
He's a master in how to let people raise the amount that he can lose. Yeah, I'm going to get him on speed dial right after this. Here, let's look at the Eastern Conference. I will say I saw an article here. I guess the loudmouth Stephen A. Smith. I actually hate most of the people on ESPN. Perkins is the only one I love. I love me some Kendrick Perkins, but Stephen A. Smith, man, I actually despise that guy's discussion points. But he's all over the Indiana Pacers to beat the Bucks. Do you know, I guess the Pacers are 4-1 against the Bucks this year.
Yeah, I guess that's a really hot pick right now. I mean, a lot depends on Giannis's health and how he looks when he comes out. I mean, the Pacers play a fast pace, but they also play no defense. And you could probably say the same thing about Milwaukee. They look old and slow. That's a tough one to call. I think if I had to bet the series, I probably would agree with Stephen A. and go with Indy, just because it's more fun to root for the young up-and-coming team than it is to root for the Bucks. But, I mean, the Bucks have some good players, right? They could pull it together. Doc Rivers is such a bad coach, though.
I mean, Damian Lillard has never won anything in the playoffs. I think he went to the conference finals one time. I don't know that he's the guy I'm all excited to have as my leader. But, I mean, game one tomorrow night for the play-ins for the Eastern Conference, you got Miami and Philadelphia. Then the winner of that game, well, what? They will be the ones going on. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They'll go on and play who am I? Reset the Eastern Conference. I'm trying to do three things
New
on my
York
phone.
State.
I'm so old. It's horrible. My mind is breaking down,
so
Pistol.
That's a great game, right? Because the loser of that game maybe will win, you know, the second game. But whoever loses that, and if you get into the playoffs, you got to face the Celtics. I don't think either one of those teams want the Celtics in the first round. I think they'd rather face them later on. And so if you win that game, you have to go through all the other teams, right? You got the New York Knicks, you got Milwaukee, you'll be on that side of the bracket, right? But I think that it's going to be cool to watch that game because both teams should be really coming in, and I'm really interested to see if we see playoff Jimmy or not.
I just wondered, Pistol, last year, me and Dave talked about it the other day, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, those guys were so on fire in last year's playoff run, especially against the Celtics. Those guys aren't playing like that. Like Caleb Martin's averaging like 7 points a game in his last 10, 20 games. He's kind of stinks.
The same thing happened last year, though. Caleb Martin stinks against everybody except the Celtics. That guy was the MVP of that series, if you ask me. He was amazing in that series. Definitely like completely fantastic. He's still on the team, right? The two guards are gone. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, Terry Rozier has taken one of those spots. They still got Duncan Robinson that can come onto the court. So it's going to be interesting to see if they are the same team or not. But yeah, I think missing those two guards, Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, those were important pieces, but it's not like Strus had a great series against us, right? It was mostly Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent had a good series.
Well, what I'm looking at for that game tomorrow is a big 76ers win. Like, I see that line is 4, and I'm really surprised at this. I just think that the 76ers are a much better team from top to bottom than the Miami Heat. But for some reason, people are like, oh, the Miami Heat in the playoffs can do this and that. But I just look again. Max Strus isn't there. Caleb Martin was lucky last year. He stinks. And Gabe Vincent isn't there. And the Heat are, I mean, not playing that great right now. So the 76ers, in my mind, should smash them for that 7 seed.
Isn't it crazy, though, is that the talk about the Miami Heat every playoffs for the last 3 years has been the same, right? They've always been around like 44 to 46 wins, but they've made it to the NBA Finals 2 times out of the last 3 years, and they were a Jimmy Butler 3-point shot away from being in the Finals 3 years in a row. So, Slim, do you think, like, are they just going to do it again in the fourth year?
I think they're going out early. I think if they play the Celtics, they're going out in 4 or 5 games. They're just not talented enough. And this is why, I hear your argument, and it is the same thing every year, but I just look at that Miami squad, and they don't scare me at all.
Yeah, I feel like I entered every year. You know, the one thing that they need is they need Tyler Hero to get injured. Sometimes these players that are good, that people think are a benefit to their team, are big-time chokers in the postseason. And so the loss of Julius Randle for the Knicks, and then you got to get Tyler Hero injured so that Butler gets more possessions, and then Miami will be good.
Well, for the betting lines tomorrow, I see Philadelphia getting 64% of the action, which is a little closer than the 2 games here tonight. And then in the last game tomorrow, Atlanta at Chicago. Like, nobody cares about this game, but Atlanta did beat the Celtics 2 games in a row. So I'm tending to think that, like, Atlanta, when they play their best, isn't that bad and better than Chicago.
Yeah, I kind of feel, I mean, Chicago is favored in that, I think. And
by 3.
The only bad news about Atlanta is they got Trae Young back. And they're a different team with he's just bombing threes left and right. So it's tough to root for Trae Young, but yeah, that's a game that we really don't care about, and hopefully both of those teams go out.
So 2 bets I saw online here, interesting. Golden State to make the playoffs, so they got to win their 2 games, is plus 320. I just see Steph Curry. Yeah, I just see Steph Curry making the playoffs. I just do. And on the other side, New Orleans Pelicans not to make the playoffs, plus 360. Again, if they win tonight, then that goes kaput. But it's so cool how open the NBA playoffs, the way these matchups have gone, Pistol, the NBA could not have dreamed up anything better, honestly.
It's really fantastic. The only big thing I think we're seeing is the changing of the guard, right? Because in the play-in now, we've got Steph Curry and LeBron in the play-in, and you got players like Anthony Edwards, Jokic, Doncic at, like, the top seeds, right? So I think at this point, you know, we're seeing the changing of the guard. Durant's a 6th seed. Right, so all the young guys are stepping up now. They're the dogs to beat.
I'm just old and crusty. That's why I want to see, like, LeBron and Steph Curry both make it into the playoffs. This is where my fault lies. I'm living in the past.
Yeah, well, that plus 320 for Golden State is going to be a lot of fun to root for, man. I think that's a worthwhile bet.
I know you do. I like it. Let's go, Steph Curry. Let's go, Golden State. I like to root for Golden State. Even though they've done so much winning, Steph Curry just is a guy I kind of like to root for. He's got a little bit of confidence and swagger, but not overboard.
Yeah. I think what you need for them is you need some of the other guys to step up, right? Like, you don't have to worry about Steph Curry, but, like, is Andrew Wiggins going to play defense? Is he going to, like, hit open 3-point shots, right? What about Kuminga, right? Like, how is he going to play? So you need some other guys.
Let's see tonight. The other guys need to come through. The other guy came through today, Pistol. Nice work on the phone lines. We'll talk to you as the week goes on, hopefully. This has been The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Those are the radio dials. NHTalkRadio.com is where you go online.